WildTalkRadio.com.
The Wild Talk Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure a show full of passion and excitement.
The king's coming! He's coming! He's coming! Yes, him! Yes, yes, yes!
WTR brings to you The Rack.
Just so you know, there's no one or no way to protect you now.
Featuring two women bringing to you their opinions.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
And their high-pitched squeals about the world of pro wrestling.
The pain and suffering has just begun.
With your hosts.
If any of these ladies misbehave, I give you permission to spank them.
Yeah, I can dig that.
Jackie Feist.
Look at me, woman.
And Lindsay Warwick.
This is one vicious fixin' right here.
Now, through hellfire and brimstone, it's The Rack.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Everybody, welcome to The Rack. I am, of course, Lindsay Ward, and with me tonight is my co-host, Jackie Feist.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm good, and of course we have our fancy-dancy producer, Sir Rock.
I have many M&Ms, I'm happy.
You have many M&Ms, you're happy, awesome. And we also have something else that's fancy-dancy. We have a brand new sponsor.
We do.
We do. Thanks to you, Rock, we have a sponsor.
So, who is this lovely sponsor?
This sponsor is BotchedMerch.com. That's BotchedMerch.com. And yes, that proves I can spell. Go check out their website. It is full of awesome, cool stuff that is not that expensive. So
yeah,
go buy them out.
Some of the stickers are extremely reasonable. I saw a whole bunch of them for like $3. And then if you... Is the code still going, Rock?
It's going, yeah. Wild Talk, you get 5% off your next order.
Right. Some of the stickers are like $5. I'm sorry, not $5. $3. And then you get... If you use Wild Talk, and I do believe it's in all caps, you get 5% off. Dude, seriously. Go get one.
Yeah.
There's a really cool t-shirt that says that real men have curves, and I believe that. Go buy one of those t-shirts.
I still want my Hello, My Name is Teddy shirt. And if you go buy them out, they will make me one. I have been told this. So go buy them out so I can get this shirt because I really want it. So yes, go to BotchedMerch.com. They are our new fancy dancy sponsor and they're awesome and we love them. Right, guys?
Right.
So we have a lot to talk about tonight, don't we?
We have quite a bit to talk about. Things have a way of breaking on Thursdays lately.
I know, this is kind of awesome that we do our show prep on Wednesdays and we sit there and we go, fuck, there's nothing to talk about, and then everything happens on Thursday. It's great. So I guess we should get the big news out of the way first, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we should talk about how Raw signed a deal with Turkey for the next, like, 5-10 years, something like that. No.
Who cares about that?
That's not the big news?
That's not the big news. It's Raw, but it's not with Turkey. It has nothing to do with fowl that you eat on Thanksgiving. No, no, no. You see, Raw is now, as of when? Let's see, July 23rd? Going to be going to 3 hours!
Let's throw a party.
Well, we will on the post-show. Because the three of us do it.
I totally remember there being a three-hour Raw some weeks ago when Rock was like, there's no reason for there to be a three-hour Raw. It's not going to work. They're not going to have the content to fill a three-hour Raw, blah, blah, blah. And he's just never been a real big fan of the 3-hour Raws, and then I read that today, and I immediately went to Rock on Skype, and I was like, did you hear?
Oh, trust me, I heard and I saw that, and my first reaction was, ah, fuck. I mean, I'm sorry. I like 3-hour Raws when they do them special, but every week...
Every week?
I mean, I hope they have plans for this. I'm willing to have an open mind. I'm willing to give this a chance. And I know the 23rd is, I think, the 1,000th episode of Raw, which is astounding. Congratulations to WWE on that, by the way.
Right.
But after that, I'm a little skeptical on what they're going to do for 3 hours of Raw. If we get 3 hours of John Laurinaitis, we're going on a road trip to Stanford. Just saying.
I could deal with 3 hours of Kane.
I could totally deal with 3 hours of Kane. Actually, WWE, you are within the sound of my voice. For the 1,000th episode of Raw, I demand The Undertaker. I do not ask, I do not request, I goddamn demand him.
Oh, wow.
Because he was on the first episode of Raw, he should be on the 1,000th.
Yeah, I kind of got to agree.
I mean, all you have to do is make him walk out there and wave his little hat and show us his horrible hair, and then, you know, he can go in the back and do whatever the hell he does. But, you know, I want to see him. In fact, I demand that I see him. Plus, I need my fix. I can only watch the WrestleMania match so many times before it gets old.
As awesome as it is.
As awesome as it is. I mean, Edge's induction and the last Taker match that we got is kind of holding me over. But, yeah, not so much anymore. I need more. I need my fix. And let's see. Oh, dear. Vince has come out and said something about the 3-hour Raw, according to Rock in our production chat. It's going to be interactive television. Oh, dear God. How are they going to make Monday Night Raw interactive? I'm just kind of curious.
Does that mean we can reach out and touch?
Dude, if it is, I'm so all over that.
Right?
Actually, if that's true, then I need to look harder into getting DirecTV. If I can reach out and touch certain individuals through my TV, I am so for that.
Yeah, I only want to touch really one, but it's going to be a lot, so that'll work for me.
Well, while you're busy touching Kane, I have to go find Drew McIntyre because you'll be all over that, so.
Yeah.
And you don't share well.
No, you can have Drew and Wade. Just leave me with the red one.
I don't have Wade, and he has a lawyer.
Yeah.
Which I don't entirely understand. Wade, we know it's you tweeting, okay?
Yeah.
Is Mr. Lazaru, or whatever his name is, not working?
Yeah, and you know what? The same thing to frickin' Damian Sandow. Has his servant Ignatius tweeting for him. And I'm like, no, that's stupid. No, sorry.
Maybe it's the same guy.
I don't know. All I know is I don't like it. It's kind of, I don't know what you call it, but when you have a manservant who does your tweeting for you, that just, no.
Yeah. Actually, I like Heel Ziggler's tweet. Rock put in our production chat with some of the superstars were tweeting about this. And our good buddy Dolph Ziggler, who I adore at least, said, I challenge any WWE superstar to an Iron Man match July 23rd. Hashtag 3-hour Raw. Hashtag stole show and hashtag any takers with T-A-K-E-R in all caps. So I'm not the only one that wants Taker there.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Dolph, honey, if you can get an Iron Man match out of The Undertaker, I will bow down and worship you.
Well, he's going to, okay, no offense to Taker, but Taker is a bit older and his body is a bit more beat up. I kind of get the impression that for someone like Dolph Ziggler, it may not be that hard to beat Taker in an Iron Man match.
Well, it depends on what Taker does.
True. It's just, he's older and he's injured now, so.
Well, he's not that injured.
He should have been making this request, you know, 10 years ago, but.
Go for it at Mania, man. Go for it at Mania. That's just what we want, an Iron Man match between the Undertaker and Dolph Ziggler at Mania. Oh, God. That's terrifying. I love you both, but no, 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 fail. So, what are our thoughts on the three-hour Raw? Any?
I find it kind of interesting that they're announcing a three-hour Monday Night Raw the week after they've had one of their lower ratings in a while. So it'll be interesting to see what they're going to do. That also means we're going to have to change the time of the Raw post-show, I think.
No, it's just starting an hour earlier. It's ending the same time. It starts at 8.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yes. So, Rock, your thoughts? Rock.
Apparently, Rock doesn't have any thoughts.
Rock has left us. The aliens came and got him.
He does this.
The producer went to get something to drink, so what did I miss?
What are your thoughts on the three-hour Raw?
It's a wait and see. It could develop new talent, or it could be a train wreck. But again, do we know what the 3 hours is going to be?
That's what we were saying. We don't know. On the interactive topic, do you think we'll be able to reach out and touch?
We're not going to have smell and sniff television.
Damn.
But what about touch television?
No.
Damn.
You're not going to, unless you have this 3D TV thing where you can probably, you know, see them really up close. No.
But doesn't the producer of the television have to support the 3D too? I don't think WWE does that, so I think I'm not going to get any 3D Kane anytime soon.
No, you're not going to get 3D Kane. But
well, you are going to get 3D Kane.
I am going to get 3D Kane
in person, but
yeah, and we're going to talk about that. Yeah.
I posed this to Alan earlier. Is what will the first hour be?
I remember reading some stuff last week, or maybe it was early this week, about the idea of a pre-Raw show.
That's been in talk for months.
I could not imagine why you would want a pre-Raw show. Number one, why you would have a pre-Raw show when you could make the pre-pay-per-view show a bit better. And they are with the YouTube things, but it's just like, a pre-Raw show just seems kind of strange.
Well, you could put superstars on pre-Raw. You could put your younger talent or your lower talent on the Raw pre-show in the first hour, and then kick it off in the 2 hours for regular Raw. So you could do that.
Vince has always been in love with the whole Sports Center aspect of doing a Sports Center aspect type show.
Well, they kind of had that with Confidential, yeah. And they got rid of it.
Yeah, but it's more like what they do before NFL games, an NFL countdown. I'll go with that.
So they're going to do a countdown before every Monday Night Raw.
That was one of the talks a year or so ago. That's what they wanted to do.
I can see that for pay-per-views, and it would be great, like what they did with Sunday Night Heat.
Yes,
because they pretty much do that on the countdowns with Scott Stanford before the pay-per-views. If you watch it, which... you sat through it. I love Scott Stanford, but God, those things are awful.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But, I mean, if you want to do that type of stuff, save it for, like, the network.
Well, that might be a plan as well. You know,
they might be testing something for the network.
Right.
Do it on USA's dime instead of their own.
Oh, dear.
But it's like one of those things you just don't know what's in their mind right now.
Yeah, that's why it's a wait and see.
It is.
Unfortunately.
It is, and it's all breaking and stuff. We'll probably get more, you know, news and stuff, what they're going to be doing and stuff. But this explains the whole extending the time. Everyone was talking about, oh, they're taping more stuff, and here you go. Here's what their plan was all along, to go 3 hours. Some people have been talking about, oh, this is like WCW all over again.
No. I just hope we don't get 3 hours of John Laurinaitis or John Cena or... The other excuse is because they are blending the rosters again, they need more time to get everybody on.
And if that's the case, I am all for it. I am ready to see the brand split go bye-bye.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you have 3 hours on Monday and 2 hours on Friday... that buys you more time to push your big storylines if they would come up with some.
But you can't spend 3 hours a day every Monday pushing one or two storylines. This is where the WWE creator is going to have to be creative and come up with new storylines for everybody.
I think that might mean they have to hire some people.
Hire Jackie. She's awesome.
WWE hiring writers. Ha! Huh. That's today.
Well, here's the thing. They can hire writers, but they should hire wrestling writers. I don't mind having television people in there to help write TV, but as far as your wrestling storylines, put somebody in there that can book with these people, that they understand how to write a storyline, because, yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all don't understand.
I don't know that working at Conan necessarily gives you the insight into what wrestling fans want to see. Yeah, just saying.
Unless it's The Undertaker in a pillow fight, and then I'm okay with it.
Wait, what?
You never saw
Undertaker
that?
Undertaker in a pillow fight.
Oh, y'all never saw that.
Oh, I did. I saw that.
I did.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel, okay, yes.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to see him in a pillow fight, and I'm like, I don't want to see the Undertaker in a pillow fight. I'm good.
I can deal with the Undertaker in a pillow fight because I made it through the story about Edge giving somebody a naked Superfly splash. If you can get through that story, through anything. Who was it, Lindsay?
It was Tommy Dreamer and the permanent mental image of Edge up in the Superfly pose, butt ass naked. Makes me smile.
I was just like, yeah. That was borderline TMI right there. I mean, it was funny as hell, don't get me wrong, but I was like, yeah.
Actually, I think personally the story of the owner of the company and Edge having a farting contest in Iraq was a little bit worse than that.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one. That was pretty funny.
I cannot believe that Taker did not get up and whoop everybody in there.
I'm sure there were many parts of that story that were left out.
Oh, I'm sure. And I don't know what's more horrifying. Oh, my God. A fart off between those people.
And I bet JBL would tell it way better than Edge would, just saying. Way better. But, by the way, if you don't know what we're talking about, we are talking about Edge's Hall of Fame induction speech. You have not seen it, go find it.
Go find it on YouTube somewhere or something. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's hilarious and it's awesome. And just go watch it.
I mean, if us telling you that Edge tells the story of him giving a butt-ass naked Superfly Smash to a sleeping and snoring Tommy Dreamer is not explanation enough as to why you need to go see that speech, then I don't know what to tell you.
I can tell you.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
I want that as part of my intro for this show. I want to replace Jerry Lawler with that because I love that.
We'll see what we can do.
Why do you think Taker hates you?
I don't think Taker hates me. I just find it hilarious.
Dude, I can't even lie to you. If I ever walked up to Taker, that would be my inner monologue, totally.
Yeah. Actually, it wouldn't even be, does Taker hate me? It's, oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, 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 Taker,
Taker, Taker,
oh my
Taker.
God.
I know.
Don't grab. Actually, the does he hate me would be replaced with don't grab his ass.
Right? That may be me in a couple weeks. Except instead of Taker, it's going to be King.
I know. We're raising the bail money as we speak.
And we'll raise more if you go to botchmerch.com.
And buy their stuff. Buy them out, please. They will make more.
Maybe they'll come up with a Jackie Fice Legal Defense Fund t-shirt that everyone will buy. And you guys can come bail me out, Jim.
We can talk with them. They might do it.
Can we get an Appease the Fangirls shirt?
We'll talk.
Sweet.
We'll talk.
We now have an outlet for our creative evilness. Yes. But Anyway, I think we have exhausted that topic. WWE wasn't the only ones with big news today.
They weren't?
They weren't. TNA had a little bit of news of their own.
Did they?
They did. It seems.
What news did they make?
Well, it's actually, this is a two-parter. The positive one, if you want to term it that, is that TNA announced that they will be going live all summer long starting May 31st at 8 p.m. Eastern on Spike TV on Thursdays.
Wait, they're they're going live? What?
They're going live Thursdays, so...
What?
I think this is a good move for them.
I think it is, too. They should have done this when they instead of going live on Mondays.
They're calling this the Summer Bash TNA Live.
I think it's a good move. I think it's a good test. It should defeat spoilers. My only thing is I wish, and I understand for financial reasons they can't, I wish they would take it out of the Impact Zone.
Yeah, well let's start with this.
I know. Let's start with this, and then we'll move forward from there. But yeah, it's like I wish this wasn't going to be in the Impact Zone, because I hate the Impact crowd. I really do.
But now the Impact crowd actually has to show up every week, not every other.
Well, it's Universal Studios, and when they tape, yeah. It's not like they're a shortage for people.
Yeah. Apparently, you have to get there early if you're a VIP member of whatever TNA offers. I don't remember the whole thing, but I know you have to get there early now. If you want to get prime seating for Impact tapings.
Yeah, I've had friends go to Impact, and they said that you have to get there about, I think, noonish, and wait outside in line to get in.
Oh my god, what time do they start taping? Or start the live feed show or whatever?
Well, they're going to start the live show at 8, so they'll probably let people in about 7-ish.
And you have to get there at noon?
To get seating, yeah. Because there's no reserved seating, there's no tickets. They can't sell tickets because of Universal Studios, which sucks, because they would actually probably be making money.
So you got to stand out there for 7 hours.
Yeah, pretty much. In the nice Orlando sun.
Yeah.
So take sunscreen and lots of water.
It's just one of those things that happens. If you're a wrestling fan, you know, you stand way in line. It's tailgating. That's basically what it is.
Which, yay!
Yay, tailgating.
But I'm actually...
There was other news?
There was other news, and I'm actually going to skip over on our run sheet a little bit, but the other TNA news, and I actually want to say this and then give people's opinions, and then I kind of want to rant on this a little bit. Brooke Hogan has signed with TNA. And it's not what you're thinking. She's not going to be a wrestler. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Brooke Hogan is going to be taking over the women's division for TNA.
Brooke Hogan and TNA wrestling.
And how much experience in wrestling does she have?
None. Other than being Hulk Hogan's daughter. Her and her exact duties, which Brock was kind enough to type up for us, were that she will, and these are, I believe these are Dixie Carter's words.
Yes.
We're told Brooke's duties will help up-and-coming she wrestlers.
Oh, my God.
Characters, help with backstage promos and even consult on entrance music. Thoughts?
Are they seriously calling them she wrestlers?
That I think it's a bad phrasing for Dixie.
What happened to calling them the Knockout?
I think that's TMZ's writing of it.
Yeah.
But still,
that's the term she wrestlers. Really, guys?
That's pretty stupid.
Can I quote some stuff here?
Absolutely, go ahead.
This comes from one Alan Wojcik. Tell me that the report on Brooke Bollea is a rip. He uses a real name when it's not her real name. So he said he wants to know if it's a rib, and she's going to work backstage with the Knockouts. Makes him one step closer to never watching again despite having friends on the roster.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same opinion, except the people I know don't work for TNA anymore. But anyway, and I'm not going to name drop, but...
What?
Yeah. Do we have thoughts on this before I rant?
Again, it's one of those things, well... I guess she's playing the Tracy Brooks role. I guess this is the best way to put it on camera. She'll be the Tracy Brooks character. Backstage, I'll go back to Mace facepalm.
Yeah, Jackie, do you have any thoughts on this?
It goes to show that WWE is not the only wrestling company in the world that has completely lost their mind when it comes to women's wrestling. Other than WSU, it's pretty much fucked up all over the place, pretty much.
Yeah. So, are we good? Can I rant now?
Yes.
3, 2.
What the fucking hell? You're taking a 24-year-old, I don't even know what the fuck to call her, 24-year-old, for lack of a better word to add after that, and you're making her not only an executive in your wrestling company, but you're putting her in charge of something that she really has, at least as far as we've been shown, no knowledge over. You're going to have her handle the women's division and do character development and backstage promos and entrance music. What the hell, TNA? I mean, really, what the hell? I mean, I'm sorry. At least in watching TNA, the women's division is one of the better things they have going. It's not the best, but it's way better than WWE's. And it's actually semi-entertaining to watch. And now you're going to put Brooke Hogan in charge of it and let her fuck it up?
Which is
really
unfortunate.
I would be actually very curious to hear the reactions of the women in the company.
Well, publicly they're going to back her. Oh, it's going to be such a wonderful idea, blah, blah, blah. I would like to know what they're really thinking and saying behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but isn't this kind of stupid bullshit with women's wrestling the kind of thing Gail Kim left the WWE to get away from? She wanted to go somewhere where there was actual competition, not all this fluffy, frilly bullshit.
Well, she wanted to go somewhere that she was going to get on TV.
Right, and but the priority of certain types of women being on TV over other types of women and actual wrestlers not being the preference is why she couldn't get on TV. Who were they putting on TV? Kelly, Maurice. And now they're putting one of those. And Kelly, Maurice probably have more credibility, if you could believe that. At least Kelly, I mean, she may have more credibility in professional wrestling than Brooke Hogan does, and she's being put in charge of their entire division.
I hope to God this is a fluke. I hope to God it's a joke. I hope it's just a honorary position that she's not going to have any actual power, that she's not going to be able to do anything, because if so, you are going to see the women's division tank. And I know I need to be positive, and I know I need to give Brooke Hogan the benefit of the doubt, but having seen her the couple times I have on Hogan's Know Best, I have no goddamn faith.
So why do you have to give her the benefit of the doubt, though? You really don't.
I don't. I should, but I don't, just because I try to give everything the benefit of the doubt. It's just who I am. But yeah, this is a bad move. Don't do it.
This is one of the areas where TNA should be told, even from someone like me, this is one area where you do not want to be like the WWE. Stay away from the WWE on this.
Well, it's not even that they're trying to be like the WWE. It's you're putting someone in charge of your division that has no experience. As far as I know, Brooke Hogan has never stepped foot in a ring.
And
just because you're...
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And just because you're Hulk Hogan's daughter doesn't mean you know the business, especially at 24 years old.
Well, the other thing about that that's unfortunate is if she is to be believed, she said publicly in interviews and stuff that the WWE has told her that anytime she wants to get into wrestling, she can just call them and they will put it up.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I'm just like, oh, that's so unfortunate.
The Canadian All-Pro Commonwealth Champion chimes in. Brooke Hogan in charge of the knockouts. Garrett Bischoff on pay-per-view. Gut check winners get TV time. Why did I leave hashtag TNA again?
True words haven't been spoken, Johnny. I don't mind the gut check, guys. You know, that's them trying to bring in new talent. I just wish they would use the talent that they have. But I don't mind the gut check scenario, provided they keep it on, like, open fight night. But, yeah, I just, yeah, this is not a good move. This is a fail.
But, again, we'll see what she actually does and what she doesn't do. And
please let her quit in, like, 1 week. Please, please, God, please, I beg of you, please.
I just want to see where it goes, and if it goes somewhere, fine. If it doesn't, she's actually has power, then we're all fucked.
Oh, I'm sure she actually has power and we're all fucked. We just haven't realized it yet. And I look forward to the tweets from folks in TNA as it moves forward. But anyway,
I think this is where we should break.
Yeah, I think we should break too. So you are listening to The Rack, brought to you by BotchedMerch.com, and I am Lindsay, and I'm joined by Jackie and Rock, and we will be right back.
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
In first and least since 1983.
Well, that ain't good.
The drummer from the Muppets only got one heart.
You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say?
And I don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on wildtalkradio.com, just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood Paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
I give two shits about My Little Pony, but that's a terrible way of keeping a collection.
Yeah, I was just waiting for Omega to say that.
Holy fuck.
I knew it.
Well, Omega can be into My Little Pony all he wants, you know.
Some hideous pastel pony gangbang. No secret, no secret that I, yes, I do have a lot of Transformers. However, I am not I am not so fucking creepy that I actually have the bed sheets too.
The question is Omega wearing the underoos as we speak?
Busted!
Better keep his bumblebees safe somehow.
You'll no longer refer to my dick and balls as bumblebee. I will have my balls have nothing to do with Shia LaBeouf.
There's a visual. Shia LaBeouf driving Bumblebee, and it turns out to be Omega's undercarriage.
No, just stop. Stop. Picturing that.
I'm not picturing it. I'm giving everybody else a visual.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wrestling fans, looking for unique, one-of-a-kind wrestling merchandise? Then check out BotchedMerch.com. BotchMerch.com provides the wrestling fans with unique, limited-edition wrestling merchandise not available anywhere else, from shirts, bumper stickers, buttons, and more.
You claim to be the man of 1,000 holes, but I know 1,004, and I wrote them all down. Here we go. Hole 2, arm bar.
Use the promo code WILDTALK and receive 5% off your order. That's right, Wild Talk Radio fans, BotchMerch.com is giving you a bonus discount just for listening. Don't be part of a trend. Set the trend and lead the way with unique, one-of-a-kind, limited-edition wrestling merchandise from BotchMerch.com. That's B-O-T-C-H-E-D, merch.com.
Hey, this is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Brought to you by BotchMerch.com. And Rock, why did you play that song? I hate that song.
I didn't know. It's SmackDown. It's SmackDown's theme song. I didn't know. You should have told me.
I hate it on SmackDown. I hate it on SmackDown. It makes no sense on SmackDown.
Okay, well, you should have told me you hate the song. I want to play the song. Sheesh.
Anyway, I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by Jackie and Rock, in case you haven't figured that out. And if you're joining us after the break, thank you so much for sticking around. And if you're just joining us, why?
Why? Because it's an awesome show. It's the Rack. It's live on Wild Talk Radio every Thursday night, and we talk wrestling.
Yeah!
You're talking wrestling with girls. You will never be that anywhere.
Wrestling with girls and occasionally video games and other geeky things. So just keep that in mind.
Say what?
Occasionally we do talk about video games and the Avengers and yeah.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Awesome stuff like that. So, which by the way, if you have not gone and seen the Avengers, go and fucking see it. It's awesome. But before the break, we were kind of talking about Brooke Hogan and the debauchery that is making her a TNA executive. And I'd actually like to move on to another daughter of the business, if you will. Ric Flair's daughter, Ashley Flair Johnson, has signed a developmental deal with WWE. And she will be reporting to Florida Championship Wrestling in the summer. So, congratulations to her. Thoughts on that?
I find it kind of funny. I don't know. And I guess ultimately it makes sense. But I was just like, really, you think they would sign her with a company her daddy works for?
Well, her daddy may be coming back to WWE.
Fucking yeah. About time, dude.
It may be the start that... He's coming back.
Ric Flair is like the WWE prodigal son. He just keeps coming back.
Well, Hogan can't do it anymore, so somebody has to. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Flair didn't work a deal when he was at the Hall of Fame to try and come in back. And I imagine that the Hall of Fame was probably a way to try and lure him back. So, but either way, congratulations to her. Just as a side note, Ashley is the third of the Flair children to come into the business. We all remember David in WCW and briefly in the WWE where he got his ass handed to him by The Undertaker, which is one of my more epic favorite promos ever. And Reed, who was under a deal and then supposedly signed with TNA, but now he's on the indies. So,
Reed Flair, a fry cook at Taco Mac in North Carolina.
Yep.
How do I know this? Just check the archives of CB Radio. We told you that months ago.
Well, somebody worked with him, didn't they?
Rob did.
Rob did. Ah.
Yeah, they opened a store in North Carolina. He apparently, yeah. Reed Flair works there now.
Well, you know what? Props to him for going out and getting a job. A real job. I mean, you know, good for him. He can't. It's not like he's living off of daddy's money. Not that daddy has any money, but.
Daddy's giving all his money. Daddy's giving all his money to
the various women.
The various women and casinos and other places.
That's what happens when you live the lifestyle for that many years. It's going to catch up to you.
But at least he's not Garrett Bischoff, and for that we can be thankful. But,
yeah.
So, let's see. What else do we have to talk about? Going back to an earlier topic that we had at the beginning of the show, as far as, you know, WWE making a move to three-hour Raws and the booking of WWE, here's a question I had earlier in the week. We all have heard rumors in the past couple months of Vince McMahon getting a bug up his ass about one thing or another and making changes to storylines and to finishes of matches and whatnot because he wants to be unpredictable. He wants to be, he wants to basically fuck the internet crowd because we find out everything before we're supposed to. And,
we're bastards.
Yeah, we're bastards like that. You know what? Fix the leaks in your company, Vince, and you wouldn't have that problem. But, my question to you guys, at least, is this. You know, given the events that have happened that we've seen where we haven't seen some of the best booking decisions or booking choices, is it time for Vince McMahon to maybe step away from the creative role and stop putting his fingers in the pie, so to speak, and kind of let Stephanie and Hunter take over?
Since I'm not familiar with the day-to-day, you know, running some things, it's hard to say, but I can say this. Whether or not you think it's the right idea, there is no way in hell it's going to happen. You, Lindsay, you made a statement once during a conversation we were having just privately that Vince will die at the wheel, and you're absolutely right.
Oh, I fully expect that. One thing I do know, though, is that Vince does have a creative say. Everything goes through him. And is it maybe time to not have at least the creative aspect of the company go through Vince?
I don't. Well, there's unfortunately there's a yes and a no answer to that. When you consider some of the things that we've been hearing and that there's been a lack of communication between, you know, a lot of the people involved in the putting together of the weekly programs, which explains some of the what we'll call botches that we've had lately, it's good that everything should go through one person. But, I mean, it's whether or not Vince needs to step down or not, I mean, that's certainly a fair question.
I mean, just from the standpoint of, look at, you know, we hear that Raw gets rewritten 6 times in one day, and they, you know, they're changing stuff constantly. It's just, it's kind of a curious question that I have that, you know, it's, I understand you want to put the best possible product forward, but when you're not doing that, should you look to yourself or should you look to creative if everything's going through you? So, that was my only question.
Well, when you look at... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
when you look at the John Cena thing after the last pay-per-view, it was kind of strange because he gave a speech about how he was going to get in trouble with his boss, and how he had to go, and he wasn't going to be around, something along those lines. And then the next day, he's on Raw, and he's fine as if nothing happened. It kind of came off like, oh, wow, they had rewritten something that quickly.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's got to be confusing for the talent. You know, Sunday night, you know, you're John Cena, and you're being forced to take some kind of a vacation or something. And they say, oh, you're fine. You know, you don't have to, you know, you're totally fine. We're going to put you in a match with, you know, with Laurinaitis at the next pay-per-view. So you just go out there and you just, you know, smile and go out there and be John Cena. It's like, well, what happened to Idris? Go, oh, we dumped that. Okay.
Yeah, it just, some of the stuff you look at, and again, not knowing who's actually doing what, it's difficult to say, but it's just the things you hear. You know, is it maybe time for, you've got Stephanie running creative, you've got Hunter and talent, and it's obvious they're trying to do things, they're trying to run new storylines that are more creative. If you haven't heard about Hunter's NXT project, which I think we're going to talk about tonight, I don't know, is it on the run sheet?
I think it is. Should be.
Yes, it's on the run sheets later. We can talk about it now, or we can talk about it later.
We'll get to it,
but yeah, they are trying to do different things in the WWE, which I give them credit for. That, yay, they're doing more stuff, but again, it's how much of it is getting through Vince versus, you know, getting through.
As you've been, you and Jackie have been going back and forth discussing some stuff, I've been sitting here thinking, what character in WWE right now has a long-term direction?
No one.
Define long-term direction.
where the character will be 6 months from now. Is there a character in World Wrestling Entertainment right now that you know 6 months from now where that character will be?
We don't.
And is that your problem right there? Is the lack of long-term direction for characters making it hard for people to get over?
Well, yes. Well, I guess it depends on how you look at it. Personally, I like watching WWE for the sake of the story, and so I don't mind your occasional out of left field. I don't, if I'm watching the character of Kane as I have for the last 16 years, I don't want his story to be so drawn out that I know where he's going to be in 6 months from now. I want to be entertained from this. I don't want to know what's going to happen. I want the element of surprise.
No, I'm not disagreeing. No, it's not the element of surprise that I want to take out. It's where no one has a direction. You don't see anyone. There's no wrestler who has a goal. No wrestler has anything like that. They're just stagnant. There's no, this guy, wrestler A wants to go for the WWE title and wants to work his way there 6 months from now. You don't see that. You don't see any progression of a character go anywhere.
Yeah, it's back when I started watching back in 2000, 2001. The storylines had a much more smoother flow to them, and it's, you never really saw too much of a transition, at least from one story to another, where it's, okay, yeah, this guy and this guy are done feuding, but they've already moved on to the next person by the time they're ending that feud. So they, you know, there was a more seamless flow to the storylines, and therefore it was more believable that these guys are going to, you know, be working together. Now, a prime example of that is you look at the night after Extreme Rules on Monday Night Raw, where they just had nothing. And it was like, you know, whoa, wait a minute here, hold on a second. You know, it's just, there was no flow, there was no transition. It's like, okay, well, the pay-per-view happened, so-and-so beat so-and-so, and you're done. Moving on. Now we got to figure out what the fuck to do with you next.
And that's the problem. They don't know where to go. That's why we're getting repeat television. That's why Brodus Clay continues to squash people, because there is no progression. WWE has lost the art of progressing a character, and that's there's the problem in a nutshell, is that there's no direction. You every character, the best characters you always liked, they started somewhere, and then they progressed to something, and right now, for the last year, no one's progressed.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of one of those things. It's like I keep saying with Lord Tensai. They have something with Lord Tensai. I simulate the gimmick. I don't like the costume, but I like the idea. I like the gimmick. I want to see them do more with that gimmick. I want to see them provide an explanation as to why Albert went over to Japan and what made him become Lord Tensai. What was that factor that, you know, made him? It could be, oh, I went, you know, out here in the States, I wasn't welcome, and I was made fun of, and I was looked down upon, and I went to Japan, and I was basically big man on campus, and they adored me, and they loved me, and they made me, and that's how I, moved on, and I became Lord Tensai. You know, just a simple explanation as to why, and also why he came back to the States.
I'm going to bring up an example. We have Dolph Ziggler. Where has his character grown in the last year and a half?
It hasn't.
Because he's still the same character, managed by the same person, and is at the same level.
And here we were before Mania, at least in, you know what, December? Mm-hmm. November, December, talking about how they needed to move Ziggler to the main event, and they still do. You could put Ziggler in the main event, you could put the belt on Ziggler, and he would be a great champion.
They elevated him at the Rumble, correct?
I believe so, yes.
The previous Rumble, he did the exact same thing. He's not progressed. You still get the Vicky Guerrero, excuse me, and then he comes out. He's actually regressed because now he's in a tag team with Jack Swagger.
I think part of the problem is they don't know what to do with them.
There's the problem. Because it's on the fly booking is killing long-term direction.
Yeah, it's, you know, if you, and I have to wonder if part of that is creative and, you know, just without knowing how they book, because at least the way I remember it is back when I first started watching, was what I had always heard was that creative came up with it, but the workers came up with some of the storylines too. And they came up with their own ideas, and they would pitch them to creative, and sometimes creative would use them, and sometimes creative wouldn't. And I have to wonder how much of that still goes on, or if creative has complete dominion over everything, including character development. And if you would let, Dolph Ziggler is trying to develop his character. If you look at him on Zack Ryder's show, if you look at him on Twitter, if you look at him anywhere else, he is trying to develop that character. He is trying to progress that character. And they won't let him. They won't let him go beyond what he is, which is Vicky Guerrero's lackey, essentially.
Yeah, I agree. It's unfortunate because he's got a lot of talent.
And he hasn't done anything in a year and a half.
Yeah, and Ziggler is one of those that he is money on the mic. He is fantastic in the ring. He's all around a great worker. He's a wonderful talent, and I wish they would do more with him. Leave Swagger with Vicky, because God knows Swagger needs the manager. Dolph doesn't.
Needs a haircut, too, just saying.
Well, he needs to stop doing the comb over is what he needs to do.
Yeah. Then it's the match with muscles isn't working.
But, move Ziggler on, have him go and progress him up into the main event. Same thing with Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes has come leaps and bounds since he debuted. And Cody is another one of those that I'm scared to death they're going to leave in mid-card hell, and they're never going to bring him up.
And you have a lot of people in that same area where they're... And another thing is, it's the even-Steven booking. You don't let someone get over because you have to even things back out.
No, you don't.
You don't, but that's what they're doing. That's their booking philosophy right now. It's in wrestling in general, it's even Steven booking.
Shouldn't be, though.
One guy should be better than the other. You shouldn't be trading wins.
Yeah, it should be one guy. I don't mind it if to build the feud you trade wins and they're even Steven up until the end. But then somebody needs to get over in the end. Somebody needs to win big at the end to elevate one guy.
Let's take a look at the Kane-Randy Orton feud, alright? Kane and Randy Orton had a match at WrestleMania, correct?
Correct.
Kane won.
Whee! Yes, he did.
Randy Orton then won 5 days later. What was the point of the WrestleMania match?
To get Kane and Randy Orton on the pay-per-view.
That shouldn't be your reason to get someone. That shouldn't have been the reason.
Okay, but to be fair, what was the point of the Kane-Randy Orton feud?
That
Ray Barrett hurt himself.
That's a whole other story for another time. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, you know.
Okay, whatever it is, whatever it is. But if Kane got the win, the pay-per-view win should have been the win, and then you moved on. But no, you didn't move on. You had two more matches.
And Randy Orton won both of them.
Correct. And you're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The best feuds are, okay, you know, the guy always wins. And then the one time you get the end result, boom. The big comeback win. But if you go back and forth, it's like, oh, well, he won this tonight. The other guy's going to win the next night. It's like, eh.
Yeah, it's very predictable looking.
And then once someone gets a big win, they lose the next night to somebody else on Raw, and it's like, there you go, back down to the mid-card. You're like, you got to elevate the talent. And now they're going to have 3 hours every single Monday night.
It's like we were talking about this the other night privately, is that the WWE mid-card is very strong. It's very full right now because you have all these guys that they've taken from curtain jerkers and they've at least built them up to mid-card, but they will not elevate them. They will not move them forward. So they're very middle-heavy right now as far as their talent, whereas in the top tier, you don't have a lot of guys. And the guys that you do have there are the guys that Vince wants the crowd to accept, and they're not accepting. It's like they hand select now who they want the crowd to accept, which is, I'm sure, is part of it has always been that. But you know what? If you've got guys that are getting over with the fans are wanting to see, maybe you should go with those people. Rather than your Lord Tensai's, rather than your Rybacks, your Brodus Clay's. Brodus Clay is kind of the exception because he is over, but...
But even then, he's not as over as he should have been.
Right. I mean, it's... You've got guys that are ready to come up that you could put into feuds with John Cena and Randy Orton and have them elevated. It's like they brought in Alberto Del Rio. He's another one. They brought in Alberto Del Rio. They built him as this monster heel. They put him in the main event, and then I understand he got hurt, but it's like they put him in the main event, and then nothing. He's just kind of fizzled out because they haven't done anything with him. And I understand part of that, again, is that he got hurt, but it's like he won the belt from Punk, and then either Punk or Cena won it back. And that's where the belt has stayed, and then nothing happened with Alberto Del Rio after that, and nothing has happened since.
Correct.
And it's just... Why?
Because WWE has no long-term direction. And there's your issue right there. There's no long-term direction of the company, and that's their problem. That's their biggest problem.
I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we had the discussion of WWE doesn't know who their next top star is going to be. And they're going to get caught. I'm afraid they're going to get caught in that situation back in 03 or 04 when The Rock and Austin and everybody left, of who's going to take over the company. I mean, you look at it right now, and they really only have two top stars, Randy Orton and John Cena. And that's it. Orton is prone to injury, and Cena, knock wood, is long overdue for it.
Again, he's also had some injuries in his career.
He has. But Cena, when was the last time Cena went out for an injury?
4 years ago.
He's due. He's long overdue. I mean, not to say that wrestlers should get hurt, but wrestlers do get hurt. So the fact that John Cena has gone 4 years without any serious injuries is a miracle. I mean, that's almost unheard of.
It really is.
I mean, it kind of makes you wonder what he's doing that he's not getting hurt, unless he's working hurt and he's not telling anybody. Which, if he's pulling a Taker, he's shortening his career.
I think he's already shortened his career coming back quickly on neck injuries, but...
Yeah, I would agree with that. But, I mean, you look at it, and it's they have Randy Orton, they have John Cena. Mm-hmm. Edge is gone. Jericho is not reliable. He's going to be coming in and out. Taker is gone. They have done nothing with Kane to elevate him into the main event again, where he's just kind of sort of upper mid-card, lower main event. He's just there. He's their fallback guy. They're trying to elevate Sheamus, which applause to them, but goddamn it, get Sheamus a manager, because that bastard cannot talk.
This is true.
They were elevating Daniel Bryan, and then they shot him down at Mania.
Pretty fucking hard, too.
They've got Punk, but Punk said Punk's not long-term. You can't really rely on Punk to be there in 5 years. So it's, you know, you've got your main event guys, but how many of them can you actually rely on? What happens when John Cena and Randy Orton get hurt? What happens when CM Punk leaves? What happens when Jericho leaves? Who do you have left?
Yeah, this is where the next 2 years is going to be crucial for WWE, and it starts in July, where they have to now build the new talent of the company.
I mean, it's, you guys, yeah, it's, if you're within the sound of my voice, you need to start building your younger talent. Granted, I don't know dip about wrestling, I'm just a fan, but just looking at it, I remember in 02 and 03 when The Rock and Austin left, when Taker went on vacation, when you had no top talent there, and that's when guys like Edge stepped up. That's when they built those kinds of guys. That's when they built Cena. That's when they built Edge. That's when they started building new guys, because they had no choice.
Right. Wrestling Fanatic in our chat room goes, I also have a theory that Vince does not want any stars. He has created a ceiling for his guys and won't let them break it.
I would agree with that. I think it's more the Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley syndrome, where it's, I built you up and then you left me, so they're not going to build any huge stars. Cena is kind of the last one megastar that they've really built. And even then, Cena was kind of a fluke.
He's the only one they've given the rocket to and never pulled back.
Yeah, because he got over and he never looked back.
Even Randy Orton, they've given the rocket to, but at times they've pulled him back some.
Yeah.
And there's your issue. They've pulled people back. And I'm glad you mentioned the Brock Lesnar syndrome. That's basically what happened. Every time they start to build somebody, they get scared they may leave. And...
Well, that kind of harkens back to, in my mind, something that I was hearing them talk about, you know, that, I mean, apparently this is just something that goes all the way backstage. Like, I had someone once tell me, and Lindsay, you know who this person is, that WWE, when it comes to, like, behind-the-scenes stuff, they're not looking for people who are passionate about WWE. They just want someone with experience in writing and television and blah, blah, blah. They really don't care about building anyone. They really don't care about anything because they're afraid they're going to lose them. I mean, if you can get someone who's making, who's getting some good TV time and making good money with WWE, if you treat them like they're not going to leave. I mean, where are they going to go, TNA?
Well, there is that, but Brock Lesnar left for the NFL and then ultimately UFC. Bobby Lashley left for UFC as well. It's, if you, here's the thing that the way that they treat outside interests, that kind of kills me, is WWE has a movie studio. They have a music label. They have multiple extensions of their brand. So if you have people that want to explore outside interests such as movies, outside such as music, or even, you know, other TV projects, you've got the network coming, potentially. Why not utilize those other brands and let them do that? It's like WWE, the second somebody even shows an outside interest, WWE freaks the fuck out. And they fire them before they can leave.
Wrestling Fanatic jumped in basically saying, you want to know how you stop people from leaving? You teach the business like they did in the old days.
You can, but sometimes not even that will take. You know, if I remember having a conversation or being a part of a conversation where if WWE shut down tomorrow, God forbid, Vince McMahon and the WWE shut their doors, who would stay and who would stay in the business and who would go? And, you know, guys like Randy Orton, I think they would move on to movies. Cena would stay. Cena, I would imagine, would stay till the bitter end and actually try to bail out the company. He'd probably go bankrupt doing it. But he could, you know, if there was nowhere else for him to go into wrestling, he would probably go into movies and TV. I mean, it's, the guys of today are different than the guys from 10, 15, 20 years ago. And there's a big difference between your Takers and your Triple H's versus your Cena's and your Orton's. Cena and Orton, yes, they absolutely love the business, but if something else came knocking, at least in Orton's case, I honestly believe he would take it.
Right.
Well, it's also one of those things where it's kind of a double-edged sword, where WWE, well, at least WWE superstars, my understanding is that they're required to have some kind of a college degree. So just in case they get hurt, they have something to fall back on. So it's one of those double-edged swords. Yeah, you need to have something available in case you fall back on it, unless it happens to be making movies or making TV shows or, you know, if you're going to leave us for something. So if you have to have something to fall back on, you know, have it, but don't do it at our expense. You know, you have to leave us. You know, we have to kick you out. You can't leave us.
Yeah, well, it's like you look at just as an example, Maryse, and I know you're going to roll your eyes, but Maryse was released. And granted, I don't remember off the top of my head, but one of the rumors was that she was released because she wanted to do her own fashion line. She wanted to pursue her outside interests. And they let her go. Same thing with Mickie James. Mickie James wanted to pursue music. She went and recorded a CD and released it, and WWE helped her promote it, and they're like, yeah, boom, you're gone.
You can say the same thing with Maria Kanellis. There's one other person I just had in my head and I totally forgot it.
Candice Michelle.
That wasn't who I was thinking of, but, oh, Stacey Keibler.
Stacey Keibler. And granted, we're listing all the women. I can't think off the top of my head any of the men that have been released due to wanting to pursue outside interests. I think the men have been smart enough to quit before
right.
they get fired, which is sad. But, yeah, it's they are terrified of the Brock Lesnar and the Bobby Lashley syndrome. And it's, you know what? That's why you build more than one guy, people.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why you don't put your company solely on one person's shoulders. You build multiple stars. I mean, granted, you know, you can't push any more than one star really at a time on each show, but you have guys that you rotate in and out of that spotlight. And the prime example of that, and really the golden era of that, I would say, would be the Attitude Era, where you had Austin, The Rock, Michaels, Triple H, Taker, Kane, all these guys that rotated in and out of that spotlight and all shared it. But if one got hurt, you had someone else there to take their place. You know, it's now if Cena gets hurt, oh fuck, what do we do? If Orton gets hurt, oh fuck, what do we do? Who do we put in that spot? Who can we put in that spot? You don't have anyone.
That's the problem. And now this is the time they have to make these people.
If you built yourself some stars where you had them ready to go and you rotated them in and out of the spotlight, because now Cena's established. Orton's established. So you can have them start using them to build guys and put them over and bring them up. So you can start making money off these guys. I mean, Glenn Jacobs gave an interview, a shoot interview, where he talked about, you know, he doesn't mind working with the younger guys and putting them over because later on they'll work another feud when they're more established and they'll make money.
Yep. Man's a genius.
So it's that philosophy that I don't think they look at and realize. It's, you know, you build this, you look at these guys and you know, you don't see a long-term for them. You don't see them as stars.
Well, they're going to have to unless they plan on just shutting everything down once John Cena retires. Seriously, they're going to have to build somebody some way or just close it down. Unless they're going to do every show full of mid-carders.
Right. And I'm feeling anywhere wrestling fanatics going in the chat room. TNA is a prime example. At least they have a long-term direction for most of their characters.
To an extent, yes. And at least TNA is now shifting away from the older talent, and they're now focusing on their younger talent. It makes me extremely happy that they have put that belt on Bobby Roode, that they have James Storm in the main event.
They have the ability to go long term with their characters at this point. That's what they've started. They have even though week to week things may change. Their goal, they have a goal. They have 6 month storylines planned out. They know they have an A and a B. They know where they want to get to. They may change things along the way, but they know the end result. Right now, WWE's problem is they don't have the long term direction that characters need to develop.
Yeah, you want to talk about a long-term booking plan, you look at Cena and The Rock.
Right.
That was supposed to be a long-term booked story, and they failed miserably with it.
Right. And then to continue wrestling tonight, yeah, they're not young anymore. They're the younger talent. They're not the Angles and the Jarretts and the Hogans.
They're young,
Stings.
Yeah.
They're not there. They're the younger talent. Not the young talent, the younger talent. They're hitting their prime, as he's pointing out. They're hitting their prime, and this is... It's make it or break it for these guys. In TNA. But at least the one thing I like about TNA right now is that they have the direction... And they know where they want to go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, realistically speaking, if you look at wrestlers, you know, very few wrestlers, at least I think in my opinion, the younger guys, not the young guys, but the guys now, guys like Cena, guys like Orton. And again, Cena's the exception to the rule. I'm firmly convinced Cena will work till he's dead. But you're not going to have guys like Taker. Who stay well into their late 40s, stay for 20 years, and work their bodies literally until they can't work anymore.
Right.
You're going to have guys that when they get up into their 40s, they're going to recognize, in some cases, hey, I can't do this anymore. I need to stop. I need to retire. And that's what they're going to do. And so you can't rely on guys to stay as long as some of the older, old-school guys do.
Correct.
So it's like, you know, you may look at John Cena, and, you know, again, Cena's the exception to the rule, but in 5 years, Cena may say, I've done everything I want to do. I have no reason to stay. I have no want to stay. I'm going to go home. And I'm going to retire, and that's going to be it. You know, Cena could say that next year. Cena's been working in the company nonstop for 10 years now. He's been on top for, I would say, probably, what, 7?
Something like that. Yeah, 8 years, basically.
You know, he's been on top. He's done everything, with the exception of wrestle for Taker's streak. That's about the only thing he hasn't done, but...
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, he's done everything there is to do in that company. He's been on top, and he's enjoyed the success. And, you know, he could just say, I've achieved everything I want to achieve. I'm done. I'm really kind of done. I'm good. And retire tomorrow. You know, knock wood that, you know, the other scenario is with his neck injury and the fact that he came back 6 weeks. Only after 6 weeks, I should say, rather than 6 months out. He hurts his neck. He can't work anymore. What do you do?
That's the question, and we shall see what happens.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll keep an eye, but yeah, it's like you have guys like Daniel Bryan that were over, that they were starting to build, and then it was like they just yanked the plug on him. And maybe it's leading to a bigger payoff. I hope it is, but I think their problem is they look at some of these guys, they look at elevating them, and then they get scared, and they go, oh crap, and they pull the plug.
And especially in Daniel Bryan's case, that's kind of stupid. I mean, if you saw, there was an episode of Monday Night Raw some months ago where he went through a laundry list of shit that is wrong with him because of wrestling. He's lost vision in one eye, this and that, all this other stuff. And lo and behold, he's still here. And with all these injuries that he's had that cost him all these issues of his body, he then went on to WWE, which has the most rigorous schedule on the planet. I don't know how much this guy has to do to further prove he's in it for the long haul.
He's got to be in it for the long haul. That's the thing, is you can say, I'm in it for the long haul, just like, you know, The Rock said it, just like Brock said it, just like Bobby said it. Oh, yeah, I'm in it for the long haul. Don't worry, I'm going to be here for you, Vince. I'm going to back you up. And then they leave. You know, Brock was like, oh, yeah, I've done everything I wanted to do. I'm done with this shit. See you, bye. Lashley did the same thing. The Rock was like, oh, yeah, movie parts? Let me think about that. Yep, I'll do that.
But in Brian's case, he's not saying I'm here for the long haul. He's showing it by his action. How many people are wrestling for either TNA or WWE right now would take some of the shots that he's taken, lose part of their vision in one of their eyes, and be like, fuck it, that's it, I'm out of here. I don't know for sure, but I don't think that whatever happened to him that cost him his vision or part of his vision happened to him in WWE. He hasn't been in WWE that long. So if he went into the world's largest wrestling company with the world's most rigorous schedule after taking a bump like that and losing part of your vision, I mean, I don't know what else you have to do to show dedication than that.
He's the exception to the rule.
Yeah, he's kind of the exception. He's like Cena. He's an exception to the rule. Punk's kind of an exception to the rule. But even then, Punk has stated that he is not long-term. He's thinking of leaving. I think he said, another year?
I don't know. I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see come June or July if he's still around. I don't know how long his deal that he signed was, but I think he was saying that because he came out and he said affirmatively, and I don't know what brought him back other than they offered him a shit ton of money, that he was done last year.
He was done and he needed a break, but money talks and that's why he's back. And I think I don't think he's going anywhere I think we got him for another 3-4 years.
Let's hope.
There's also a difference between taking a needed break and going on and improving and, you know, trying other things. I mean, wrestling obviously is very hard on your body, and every once in a while you do need to take some time off for the sake of quite literally your health. I mean, that's why Morrison left.
Well, Morrison left also because he was burnt out.
Yeah.
And they weren't doing shit with him, which was a mistake. They had money with Morrison and they let him go. But on that note, let's take a break.
I think we beat this topic to death, huh?
Yeah, I think we beat this topic to death. Let's take a break and we come back, why don't we do a little bit more lighty with some light stuff with some cheeky?
We'll do some cheeky, some foreplay, and then get into our big discussion of the week. This wasn't
John Cena's divorce.
I was kidding. Kidding. Yeah, when we make it there too.
So, all right, this is The Rack, and I am Lindsay, and I'm joined by Jackie and Rock, and we are brought to you by BotchedMerch.com, and we will be right back.
I can't afford to buy 8 balls, and I talk to myself on my Facebook wall. You know my pants sag low, even though that went out of style like 10 years ago. I got the swagger of a cripple. I got little biceps getting fatter in the middle. And lyrically, I'm not the best. Physically, the opposite of Randy Moss. And yet, so preposterous, feel the awesomeness. The most obnoxious guest up at the Sausage Fest. Oh, yes. The girls are repulsed, so I hide in my hood like I'm joining a cult. I'm as nervous as my cattle, Dirty Curtis. All my writtens are bitten and all my verses are purchased. Me, I'll never date an actress. Got too many back zits. Plus, my whole home aroma is cat piss. Every show I do is poorly promoted. And if you like this, it's cause my little sister wrote it. I'm awesome. No, you're not, dude. Don't lie. I'm awesome. I'm driving around in my mom's ride. I'm awesome. A quarter of my life gone by, and I met all my friends online. Motherfucker, I'm awesome.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivery pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little mortal warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the 7th moon of Raxor in the Gaxan Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the warrior commands you to do it. Now the warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Ricky.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise scene buggers.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wrestling fans, looking for unique, one-of-a-kind wrestling merchandise? Then check out BotchedMerch.com. BotchedMerch.com provides the wrestling fans with unique, limited-edition wrestling merchandise, not available anywhere else. From shirts, bumper stickers, buttons, and more.
You claim to be the man of 1,000 holes, but I know 1,004, and I wrote them all down. Here we go. Hold 2, arm bar.
Use the promo code WILDTALK and receive 5% off your order. That's right, Wild Talk Radio fans. BotchMerch.com is giving you a bonus discount just for listening. Don't be part of a trend. Set the trend and lead the way with unique, one-of-a-kind, limited-edition wrestling merchandise from BotchMerch.com. That's B-O-T-C-H-E-D, merch.com.
Tired of the same old view of Monday night wrestling? Looking for something different? Well, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network will bring you that alternative. As every Monday night, we bring you the WTR Raw Post Show. Join Sir Rockin' and Mace, along with the likes of The Spud Guy, Jackie Feist, and others, as they give their opinions on all the real mayhem that happens on Monday nights.
They said it was banned, but we said anytime, any place, anywhere.
It's people talking wrestling live on a Monday night, just without the news. Monday nights, right after Monday Night Raw, only on WildTalkRadio.com.
And that's cool.
Five. Yo, monkey, it's me, DDP, and you're listening to two of my favorite ladies, Lindsay and Jackie, on the Rock with God.
DDP.
And welcome back to The Rack with Lindsay, Jackie, and Rock, brought to you by BoshMerch.com.
Now, do you have a problem with this song?
No, this song is fine.
It talks about Southern girls. She loves this song.
Actually, I've never heard it before. I'm sorry. I just don't like SmackDown's theme.
That's the NXT thing.
Yes, it's the NXT thing.
That works. It just, the SmackDown theme doesn't fit. It really doesn't fit. I'm sorry. It just, I liked the Marilyn Manson, honestly. I love the Beautiful People when they used
it. I miss the Thorn in Your Eye song.
Yes.
I want that song back on WWE TV. I don't care what show. Song epic. Put it back on.
Yeah, they seem to have, they're like hit or miss on when they pick good music, but sometimes they do actually pick good music, but if you're just joining us, welcome. You missed a lot of discussion in the first hour and a half of the show. And if you're still with us, thank you so much for still being with us. But if you're just joining us, check us out on the archive for everything we talked about. We talked about Brooke Hogan and WWE Raw and Vince McMahon and booking and building and all that happy stuff.
And boobs.
And boobs. We did.
Oh, God.
I'm giving people an incentive to, you know, listen to the archive. Boobs.
Large boobs. Pretty bras. Naked chicks. Naked guys, if that's your preference. I don't know.
Well, you did talk about naked guys earlier.
I did, yeah. And, speaking of naked guys, and I guess making people humble, shouldn't we do our tweet of the week?
Let's do it.
Well, you're the one having sex with you. I'm the most handsome boy that's too many in the world, and you're the one having sex with me. Well, what is wrong with you?
A week.
I'm gonna wash your ass, and then you're gonna be haunted.
Oh, Shiki.
It's amazing that we still laugh at that, and we've been doing that for how many months now?
I know, right?
It's the Iron Sheik.
He's just awesome. If you don't follow him on Twitter, please follow him at @_IronSheik. He will make your day.
Yes, he will.
You can't help but laugh at his tweets. You really can't. But, so who's got theirs?
I have mine.
All right, you go.
Embarrassing LeBron and the Wade. They are the biggest jobbers since the Steve Lombardi and the Virgil.
We need to see about getting Virgil on this show.
No.
To find out what the hell he did to the Iron Sheik.
No.
No.
I'd just rather not know.
I'd rather, yeah. It's something we should just leave alone.
Okay, Jackie, do you have yours?
I do. Who else dumber than the dirt? Lady Gaga or the Chris Bosh Raisin Balls? He's still on this guy.
Yeah,
I don't even know who Chris Bosh is.
He's a power forward for your Miami Heat.
Yeah.
My Miami Heat?
Well, that's what they always say. You're Miami Heat. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I live in Texas. You're not Miami Heat. Thank you.
Who got injured, by the way, and out 2-4 weeks or something like that. And apparently after tonight, the Heat need him because they lost by 20 points.
Yeah. Didn't he cut the crap out of his hand?
No. That was Amari Stoudemire where he, after losing to the Heat, he went back in the locker room, punched the glass where a fire extinguisher is, and went boom.
Oh, that was smart.
Out of frustration, yeah. He was not the brightest bulb right there. Just.
Yeah. Way to go, dude. Way to go.
Right.
Mine is Roy Hibbert the Real make the Chris Bosh look like the Hulk Hogan grasshopper dick.
And for people wondering who Roy Hibbert is, he's a center for the Indiana Pacers who beat the Heat tonight. So we now know all the moving parts.
Yay!
He knows that every day he officially, offends grasshoppers all over the world.
Grasshopper should now tweet the Iron Sheik at @_IronSheik.
Yeah. So if you're a grasshopper and you're listening to this show, tweet him. But, let's see. Moving on. Awkward transition.
Well, if you want to go awkward, we go.
Ladies, it's time for you to slip into something more comfortable.
Oh, behave.
As now we get in the mood for some hot, steamy, and oh so exciting.
Come on, baby, give it to me. Yes, yes, yes.
Foreplay.
Let me ask you a question, and be honest.
Live on the Rap.
Shall we shag now, or shall we shag later? Where am I?
Well, lost the powers. Anyway.
Me too. When?
I love that intro.
Let's do some foreplay. It's read and react. If you're new to the show, it's just read and react questions. So we're going to start with Jackie. Jackie, if you were a wrestler, what would your submission finisher be?
If I was a wrestler, what would my submission move be? Just because of its effectiveness, as much as I can't stand Bret Hart, I'm going with the sharpshooter. Excuse me.
You don't like Bret Hart?
No, I don't.
I'm going to bite my tongue and we'll just move on. If you were given, Lindsay, the chance to sit down with and ask The Undertaker 3 questions about his career, what would they be?
About his career? I can't ask him, can I marry him, have his kittens, and take all his money?
Oh my god, Lindsay, like, haven't enough women done that to him already?
I said career, not, other, outside.
Interesting. Can I marry you on TV?
No, it doesn't count.
This is like the day when you guys asked me who my favorite actor was. I couldn't say Kane or Glenn Jacobs. You intimidated every possible, every possible way I could screw it up. So I guess now it's Lindsay's turn.
Okay, if he was open to ending the streak, who would he want to end it?
Okay.
What has driven him to stay as long as he has? He could have retired 10 years ago. He could have retired, 5 years ago if he wanted to. I guess what was the determining factor to make him stay as long as he has? And when the fuck are you going to grow your hair back, you goddamn bastard?
All right, we'll count that, I guess.
Well, he's a public figure.
Oh,
his image, including his hair, is very important.
Wait, I got one better. Can I have your hat when you retire?
Wrestling Fanatic goes, how badly would you have stretched Shawn Michaels if he didn't do business at WrestleMania 14? That's a question. So, he's going to type more. We'll get back to them. Jackie, if you were in a position to perform a heroic life-saving deed, what would you want that deed to be?
Jesus.
Wow, a heroic life-saving deed.
Yes, what would you do? What would you want this heroic life-saving deed to be? As you can tell, it's something different that I'm not normally asking, so, you know.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell? If I could do any one good deed, I would end world hunger.
But that's not a life-saving deed. You know, be
Dude,
heroic.
You can't live without food.
But that's not heroic.
Run into a burning building and save a child. We all know how much I love children, so.
we'll go with that.
Okay.
And finally to Lindsay. Lindsay, if you owned a racehorse, what would you name it?
Oh, God.
If I owned a racehorse, what would I name it?
Yes.
Celestine.
Oh, wow.
And why is that?
I answered that really quickly.
I just think it's a cool name.
I don't know. That ends foreplay right there. Quick, simple, and easy. That's the music fades out. There you go.
All right, well, now that we're all warmed up and, you know, coming out of foreplay, let's something to just, you know, completely kill the mood and talk about Over the Limit.
Oh, boy! Let's talk Over the Limit. Do I need to run off the card?
No, as long as you remember that it's Over the Limit and not Extreme Rules.
Yeah, I've been having trouble with that for the last couple weeks. Yeah, it's Over the Limit.
Can you put the card in the chat box? Because I really have not paid attention to this pay-per-view because they've really done a shitty job of building it. And granted, they've only had 3 weeks between Extreme Rules and this pay-per-view to build. But in the 3 weeks, at least in my opinion, they haven't done shit for it. So, yeah, it's kind of. And we all know what the marquee match is going to be, and if they think anybody is going to buy to see John Cena lose to John Laurinaitis,
No.
And the only other match I would really care about is going to be on the pre-show for free.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
But I guess, are we doing picks?
We'll quickly do some picks. Brian goes, dude, Lindsay, we just talked about this yesterday.
That was on your show. This is on my show and Jackie's show. So, yeah.
Just saying.
Piss off.
Ooh. And this show is brought to you by botchmerch.com. Anyway.
We love you. So, on this card, we technically have 5 matches on the actual card, 6 if you count the pre-show, and I'm sure they'll throw a couple bullshit matches in there just for time. But we'll start with the most important match that Jackie and I care about only is Zack Ryder versus Kane, which is your pre-show and will be on for free on YouTube so we can squee over Kane for free.
Yay!
For the win. So, I know who Jackie and I are taking. Rock, who are you taking?
The big red machine, Kane.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I learned my lesson at WrestleMania. Okay, I bet against my man, and I lost. He won, and I was wrong, and I fight with this day over the guilt. So I don't care if he's fighting John Cena. I'll probably always pick him just because I'm still dealing with guilt.
But my only thing about this match is I wish they had, you know, made it a part of a storyline, which they did so great at building back in, what, January? And we're just now getting the payoff for this.
3 months ago, you wanted to see Zack Ryder finally beat Kane. And now it's like, eh?
Well, they did a great job of making Kane such a great heel and Zack such a pure babyface that it would have been a wonderful story to elevate Ryder. There's that word again, that nasty word, into a higher status in the company by having him go over Kane. Because Kane can take a loss. Yeah, instead they just buried Ryder. They broke his back and then, you know, had his girl leave him and buried him, which is
kicked
horrible to
nuts.
Think. Yeah, kicked him in the nuts at Mania, and they're like, yeah, and you're done.
Yeah, it's not bad enough that Dubu got kicked into Jimmy TV. No, it was in it was at WrestleMania. You're done.
In front of 78,000 people live and millions at home.
Right.
So I am sure Kane will go out there and get the whooping up on Ryder and send him back to Superstars where he belongs.
Woo,
so it's just unfortunate. I mean, that he was doing really well.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Rock, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, woo, woo, woo.
You know it. Well, yeah, it is unfortunate that he was doing so well in January, and then they were like, yeah, okay, we're gonna kick you in the nuts, and we're going to send you down to Superstars. I mean, they really gave him a chance, and he really did a lot, and... Yeah, I mean, he deserves something for those bumps. And
oh,
I'm
yeah.
sorry,
right
this is
stage.
Not enough.
Yeah, right off the stage in a wheelchair.
Dude took some sick bumps. I mean, just, yeah.
Hashtag sick.
I mean,
yeah,
think about it.
Sick.
Think about it. Mick Foley came out and expressed concern about the bump that Zack Ryder took. Okay.
When you have Mick Foley worrying about you, yeah, it's a sick bump.
That was kind of my thing, yeah. With Mick Foley, I mean, I've never been the biggest Zack Ryder fan, but when Mick Foley comes out and says that bump was crazy, you just took a hell of a bump.
Yeah, so, all right, Kane is our pick. What a shock.
Which means Zack Ryder wins.
Yeah, pretty much. Which, it will be interesting to see how Zack Ryder beats Kane.
Mm-hmm.
But, up next, we have the WWE Divas Champion Layla versus Beth Phoenix. Jackie, who are you taking?
I would love for nothing more than for Beth to take that belt back, but I don't think they're going to do it. I'm going with Layla. It's not what I want, but it's what I think will happen.
All right, Rock, who are you picking?
Layla, because I want karma. But apparently, Creative has nothing for her. Don't even
Here's a thought. You keep the belt on Layla. You have Karma show up at the pay-per-view. Beat the crap out of both Beth and Layla. And then you start a feud that way. What a shock! And you could even, I don't know, on Monday Night Raw, have Karma and Layla face off, and Karma takes the belt off Layla! Then what the fuck are you gonna do? Oh, I don't know, why don't you have Beth and the entire Divas Division chase her?
Logical booking. They'll never do who.
Yeah, damn that logic. Damn that to hell. I can't get rid of it.
That's kind of why there needs to be two, like we were talking about, two or three writers at every division. Because anyone with a brain can figure out what to do with Karma.
Yeah, I mean, you built her so well as a monster. That's what you were going to do with her originally. It's what you did with Beth when Beth came in. And I remember when Beth came in, she was unstoppable. She got a hold of that belt, and then nobody could beat her until... Was it Maria? Or was it Mickey?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but...
Or was Eve? I don't remember who, but then somebody out of the blue took it off of her.
But circling back to the whole conversation we were having before about even Stephen Booking, Beth Phoenix was on the verge of becoming the top reigning Divas Champion of all time or something like that, the longest reigning or whatever Divas Champion in history. And if you were, you have Karma who's ready to come back, you know, you continue Beth Phoenix, let her go through everybody, let her finish off all the challengers, let her beat up Layla, and not, you know, if Beth Phoenix somehow wins this title, it means nothing. Now, if she kept the title, a win would have meant, you know, a win over Layla would have meant something, because then she would have beat the entire division, and then, oh my god, you bring back Karma, and then have Karma go through everybody, and then at SummerSlam, you have Karma versus Beth Phoenix. And I'll be like, one strong diva versus another strong diva.
Oh, heaven forbid, really?
Not even that. One strong worker versus another strong worker. Oh, my God!
Well, kind of going back to what we were talking about before, about people being afraid the WWE were going to leave them. not giving anyone adequate competition and keeping them down because, quote unquote, you don't have anything for them, especially when it's only the most obvious thing on the planet. Yeah. If people don't think that being with you is going to get them anywhere, they're going to leave. How about giving them a reason to want to be there?
Exactly. But it's off topic, but the thing keeps streaming back, you know, going back and forth on WWE.com. It goes, woo, 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 it's the pre-show. It's like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I keep seeing that flash by. It's like, wow.
Yeah, and by the way, taking Layla, they're not going to put the belt on Beth. Right after they took it off of her, they're going to keep it on Layla because apparently they're intent on pushing her and not Beth. So...
Yeah.
And did you notice the huge pop that Layla got when she came back?
Mm. Yeah, that massively huge pop where the roof blew off the building.
I know.
Yeah.
And yes, Wrestling Fanatic, we did mention the W word. We did say worker. I know. Sorry.
My bad.
We used it. They'll come haunt us down now. You know. Where did we use the W word?
Well, it's not like we used the C word. I mean,
continuity.
See, now they're gonna come get you, Jackie.
What's next? We're gonna say Rustlet. Oh. Shouldn't use that either. Anyway.
No, what's next is we're gonna say tag team champions Kofi Kingston and R-Truth versus Swaggler. Rock.
I like the name Swaggler. Kofi and R-Truth.
Okay, Jackie.
Please, God, let it be Kofi and R-Truth.
Yeah, I'm, again, it's the, you just put the belt on them. I don't think you're going to take it off of them for Swaggler. I would hope that they actually kind of tease the Jack Swagger, Dolph Ziggler breakup a little bit. And I said this last night, and I've said this on other shows, that, you know, I really want them to split Dolph off. I said that just earlier. They've been kind of teasing it out house shows with Mason Ryan being Dolph's bodyguard, so we'll see if they do anything with that. But again, I think Dolph needs to just be on his own. Put him in a good story, and he's good to go. But we will see, I guess. And so, next, we have your World Heavyweight Championship being defended in a fatal four-way where Sheamus, you're reigning and defending, goes against Alberto Del Rio, Chris Jericho, and Randy Orton. And Jackie, who do you pick?
I am hoping and praying that Sheamus comes out on top of this one.
Okay, Rock?
WWE poses the question, does Chris Jericho need this win? He's been back for 5 months and has had multiple opportunities. Is he on the way out if he does not win the championship at Over the Limit? It's what they've been teasing. My pick? Sheamus.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking they're going to keep it on Sheamus, and then they'll put him in a feud with Orton, where Orton will probably come out on top. You know, Sheamus is, they're trying to build him right now, and to have him lose would just squash him. But that being said, they also lost confidence in him, because I think this was originally supposed to be Sheamus versus Del Rio, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, it was, and they don't seem to like Del Rio anymore.
Which is a shame, because Alberto Del Rio is kind of my guilty pleasure, mainly because I love Ricardo Rodriguez. I think he's hilarious. You should follow him on Twitter, at RRWWE. He's funny as crap. But, yeah, I think they're going to keep it on Sheamus, but watch it go to Orton.
Big mistake right there. Anyway.
Yeah, it would be a mistake on their part, but we'll see. But the match that will hopefully, God willing, be the match of the night, WWE Champion CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan. And, Rock, who do you have first?
Trying to come up with some sort of interesting way to put this, but CM Punk wins.
Alright, Jackie?
I agree. I'm hoping and praying that we get Punk on this one.
Again, I'm going to buck the curve, and I am kind of convinced that in some way, some fashion, Laurinaitis or someone is going to fuck Punk, and they're going to put the belt on Daniel Bryan. I don't know why I think this, but just based on the fact that, you know, what Punk said on SmackDown, which if you read spoilers, spoiler alert, he basically told Laurinaitis that as of Monday, he will be WWE champion, and Laurinaitis will be out of a job, which we all know what that means. Punk is going to drop the belt to Bryan, and Laurinaitis is going to win.
No!
And speaking of John Laurinaitis, the match everybody wishes would just go to hell and burn. John Cena versus John Laurinaitis.
Can I go first?
Yes, go first.
Okay. I was going through this theory last night, so while I remember it, I want to say it. On Monday Night Raw, John Laurinaitis was talking about how John Cena lost to The Rock, and then he looked like a loser to Brock Lesnar. If you think about it logically, wouldn't it have made sense for Cena to actually have lost to Brock Lesnar? For all John Laurinaitis' comments have made sense, because then think about this. He lost to The Rock. He lost to Brock. Now he lost to Johnny Ace. The Hogan of Japan, brother. Anyway, Cena wins.
Really?
After last month, I know Laurinaitis is going to win, but after last month, I'm still picking Cena. That's all. I know Laurinaitis is going to win, but I'll still pick Cena.
I can see... Anyway, Jackie, go first, and then I'll talk.
I'm thinking Laurinaitis is going to win just because I don't see Laurinaitis being fired. If the only way that Laurinaitis can be fired is if Cena wins, and I have to call for Laurinaitis just because they're not going to get rid of him.
Are you good?
Yeah.
The only way I see Cena winning is by DQ.
But there are no DQs.
Right. So... I'm not entirely sure, unless they really do it as a straight-up match and no interfering. But I just have a really strong suspicion that what they're going to do is with the firing of Big Show is that John Laurinaitis is going to bring Big Show in. He's going to look at him and say, okay, you begged for your job. You really want your job, then you're going to go out there and you're going to kick John Cena's ass and you're going to ensure that I win. And Big Show will be the reluctant enforcer for John Laurinaitis.
But maybe there might be somebody else.
There could be.
Some animal, maybe?
And that's our next topic that we're going to get into, but my pick is John Laurinaitis.
See that for a segue?
Awesome segue. Well done.
Thank you.
But, yes, as Rock teased, there are rumors, and we actually found these. Did we find these ourselves, or did we find these on a dirt sheet?
They were on the webs. And
they were on...
And then we found a YouTube channel. We were like, oh, is it real? Is it fake? Is it real? Is it fake? We weren't sure, but...
Yeah, on YouTube, there is a CM Punk supposedly WWE-approved YouTube channel, which we cannot confirm or deny is real or fake. We don't know. But on it, it has some very interesting videos pertaining to Over the Limit that are actually from, or at least star CM Punk, or at least his hands. And in them, they talk about... the potential return of Batista. So and I forget what the videos say. There's like two or three videos on there. Do we have the link?
I'm going to dig it up at the moment. I'll put it in the chat for people to take a look at. But one of the videos, basically, it was him talking about, you know, he said, quickly guess, you know, every second letter and then spell it out. Then, you know, one of the dirt sheets to pick up on it. Is it the return of Batista? Was basically what it was. So, this is going to be a creepy link. Anyway, if you go to YouTube.com and you go to see, it's CM Punk Made Chicago is the username. You see some interesting videos from someone who has access to CM Punk, basically.
Yeah, somebody, we don't think it's done by Punk directly, but we think it is definitely somebody that either knows him or has access to him, or it's somebody in the WWE, again, who has access. That just because of there are videos out there that it makes you scratch your head and go,
They're his hands.
They're his hands. And there's also other videos on there from when about the time that he left last year. And we think what it is it something that may have been set up by the company for him to use while he was gone in the storyline. And it just may never have gotten used.
They're actually from a couple months ago, actually.
Yeah, they're from a couple months ago, but I think they're from some... There's some from the time around Summer of Punk, aren't there?
They probably are.
But, yeah. So... Very interesting. Go check him out. You know, make your determination. But if Batista is in fact coming back, which, oh God, what are your thoughts on this, Jackie?
You know, actually, I've been so busy, honestly, for last year's time with my TV tuner, I didn't see the video. But I'm noticing how you two are so fascinated by it, which kind of interests me. So actually, about next week, once I get a chance to see the video, I know it's got to be something interesting. I'm obsessing over the TV tuner.
Oh, okay.
I posted a link. I'm going to post it in the link in the chat room as well. The latest look for Batista.
Oh yeah, where he's got the ice cream cone on the top of his head.
No. Click the link.
Oh, he's good. He's doing the Tyrant Rex.
Oh.
I posted a pretty picture in the chat, one thing.
Yes, you did, and I appreciate that. But
it's a pretty man of a douchebag, just saying.
That's about right. So, Rock, what are your thoughts on this?
I could see it. I don't want to see it, but I could see it.
Well, just... Theory-wise, what would be your guess as far as they bring Batista back and who is he going to interfere on? Is he going to interfere on behalf of John Laurinaitis?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'll be back. Anyone who interferes will be up. Because why would Cena need interference?
Well, here's the other thing I was thinking of. When Batista left, hadn't he just gotten his ass handed to him by Cena in a Last Man Standing match?
Yeah, as it keeps floating by on the little thing here, there's a picture, right, if you go to it, there's a picture of Over the Limit, where he took a bump off the stage, off a car, the attitude adjustment off the car, so it keeps floating by, so yeah.
Because the next night on Raw, Batista came out on the wheelchair and he quit.
Yes.
So, it would make sense Batista returns it Over the Limit and he fucks Cena over. Because, if you don't know the stipulation to the Laurinaitis match, which, if you live under a rock, it's basically no active member of the WWE roster, whether they be male or female, can interfere in the match. If they do, they are automatically terminated. And notice the active. They've made a very... very conceited effort to point that out.
Yeah.
And so you have Big Show, who is no longer a member of the roster, that got fired on Monday, which was kind of epic. And then now you have rumors of Batista coming back. There's the possibility that Brock could show back up, which I doubt they're going to waste that date.
Yeah, I'm going to squash it. I don't think Brock's coming back for this. He's moved on.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know. They're starting the stuff between Heyman and Triple H, but there's always the possibility of Brock showing back up, but you never know. But Batista could come back and I guess get embroiled in a feud with Cena. Once you bring him back, what is he going to do?
Batista, yeah. You gotta go with the Cena feud, and that would be their big feud for the next couple months where they have nothing else and other things like that. That would be the headlining match for those shows.
Hopefully he's learned how to cut a promo. Please, God.
Hopefully. Please. Hopefully.
But, yeah, so... And just to tie it in case you haven't seen the other set of videos that are out there, WWE is teasing a Revolution. And if you haven't seen them, it's the new viral campaign by WWE that has it launched yet?
WWE on Twitter keeps posting pictures of the Revolution and stuff like that. So they're starting it a little bit.
It's not the okay. Fangirl Revolution, is it, Lindsay? We're not going to take over, are we? I'm totally down for that.
Well, actually, it's kind of interesting you mention that, because they show pictures of wars and protests and everything, and they talk about a revolution is coming with a red X and a black circle. Jackie, where have we seen that before?
A red X?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Let me see anything here. A red X, the black. That wouldn't be the Citizen X logo, would it?
Pretty close. Yeah, pretty close. Which, if you don't know who Citizen X is, it's... Go Google it.
That's
something
that's
to
arcane.
Do with Glenn Jacobs. Yeah, just... It is Glenn Jacobs' alter ego for his political stuff. But, yeah. Go look him up. Go Google him. Go read his libertarian blogs. You can find them. Somebody's got them archived, I think, on Blogspot. So go look them up. Just look up The Adventures of Citizen X and it'll pull it up. But,
my
yeah.
heart flutters at the thought of Glenn Jacobs in a tux or some kind of a suit on WWE TV. Oh my god, that is hot.
Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be Glenn. I don't think it's going to be Kane. They've let him stagnate out in this character that they really did shit with, which makes me cry on the inside that they completely, totally changed Kane. And they half-assed it. Again. But that's another rant for another day.
Oh, there's always a rant for another day.
So, speculation at this point, it's basically just, yeah, a video of protests, and they talk about how the revolution is coming, and do we want to speculate at this point, seeing as it really hasn't started, or...
No, I'll pass.
Rock, any thoughts on it?
It'll be at least nothing's leaked about it. That's... a good thing, because if it's something leaks, you know, oh, Christ, then, you know, this is what's coming, and then it's like, oh, fail. Like, when the Nexus came, no one knew that was coming.
Oh, my God, I love the Nexus storyline.
The start of the Nexus storyline.
Yeah, the start of the Nexus storyline was really fantastic, and the fact that when they fired John Cena, and then he kept showing up, yeah, that kind of killed it for me, but love the Nexus storyline. Anyway... But, yeah. So, nothing really to say there. It hasn't really started, but keep your eye out for it. So, yeah. Let's see, what else do we want to talk about? Let's see, another person, I guess, to keep your eye out for. Or actually, I know what we can keep our eye out for. And make sure we don't have to go to break. We don't have to go to break?
No, we don't have to go to break. But you read the little thing there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's where I was going. Sorry. Momentary blip. WWE has redone NXT, which, if you have not seen pictures online, you've seen various guys posting on Twitter. They're basically what they have done is they have taken NXT off the road. They moved it to Full Sail University in Florida, and they're now going to have the FCW guys looking on NXT, and there are pictures of the set and the ring out on Twitter.
Are there?
Yeah, yes. I'll have to. Yeah, there are. Some of the folks are tweeting them. Like, somebody posted a picture of Jim Ross and Dusty Rhodes on the set.
I have not seen this. This is where I'm going to the Twitters now.
Yeah, go to Twitter. It's out there. Somebody's got a picture of the ring, too. This is Triple H's pet project, which they have given him, I guess, free creative control over this to do what he wants. And so far, it looks like it's going to be kind of interesting. I'm really curious to check this out. and see what they do with it, just because Dusty Rhodes is your general manager, and on commentary, you have Jim Ross and William Regal.
Yeah, that's pretty much a win right there.
How can you go wrong with that? Seriously. It's, yeah, I'm, they've got my attention, and I really want to check this out. Plus, I think it's an awesome opportunity for the FCW guys, the fact that they get their own show. So, is this going to be an online show, or is this going to be an on-air show?
This is going to be WWE.com production.
Hey, if it's Jim Ross, Regal and Rhodes, I'll watch it.
I'll watch it. I'll give it a chance. I mean, I know they've got some great talent right now down in FCW, so I'll give it a shot.
They've taped a month worth of storylines for this program. Oh, wow, I actually like the... See, this. It looks like it looks different. That's going to be key. The set looks different than normal.
Yeah, the set is not the traditional Raw and SmackDown set, if you can find the pictures on Twitter. It actually, it's a pretty impressive looking set for what it's going to be. It looks professional. It looks really good. You can tell that they have put some time and some money into this, and they're not just schlepping it together at the last minute, which I wouldn't expect Triple H to do anyway. I mean, he's enough of a student of the business that he doesn't half-ass much. So I would expect this, that if he is the one, in fact, running this, that it's going to be at least halfway decent. So look for that.
Look for that. Yeah, it starts this Wednesday.
Does it? So yes, WWE.com this Wednesday. Go watch NXT. We will have a review of it, I guess, next week.
I guess we will have to, huh?
Yeah, we have to recap NXT now.
Oh Christ!
Well, if it's good, we recap NXT.
from the result, it seems like it's gonna be a lot of good wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like I said, if Triple H is booking this, it's not going to be half bad.
All right, I don't know how much you've been following this story, Lindsay. I don't know how much Jack has, but I'll throw it to you. You've heard of King Mo, who's now signed with TNA, correct?
Yes.
What do you think of the idea of a wrestler being in wrestling and mixed martial arts at the same exact time?
I don't think it's a bad idea. I'm not sure about it. Just because it's, MMA and wrestling are two entirely different animals. And granted, I'm not 100% convinced that MMA isn't somewhat worked.
Okay.
Just a little bit. At least on the level that you get to like UFC and Bellator. I'm not 100% that some of those aren't predetermined.
Okay.
But at the same time, I just kind of question it.
You quit. What do you think of Spike TV's decision to groom him as their star?
I wouldn't be able to comment that because I've heard of him, but I've never seen him. But you know what? If Spike TV is trying to grow their brand, nothing wrong with that. I mean, everybody needs a face for their company if he's any good, which I would hope he is, then hopefully it's a good thing.
Okay, I'll pose it to Jackie like this. What do you think of the concept of a television network getting behind one star and wanting it to make it the face of their network?
Yeah, bad.
Why?
No. Because you're going to have to... I don't know that you're going to find any one person who is so hugely and monumentally talented that they're going to fill what is, in some cases, a 24-hour television day.
Okay. I'm just curious to get another perspective on that. Okay.
It doesn't work with Cena, and we only see him a few hours a week. You're going to build someone around an entire television network.
Not a television network. You know, the action part of it. One night a week, it's going to be basically Bellator and TNA on the one right after the other. What do you think?
Well, that possibly, but... The thing is, and this might just be bias on my part, if we were talking about WWE, I might feel better about it, but TNA is not exactly...
Leave TNA and Bellator out. Just the idea of working mixed martial arts and wrestling at the same time and being that face of a brand face for a network.
It's touchy. It's unfortunately it's one of those things where I don't know that you can necessarily predict either success or failure. It's kind of one of the things where you got to go into it and you got to be prepared to either lose everything or win everything because you're taking a really big gamble.
I would say this, if I can just add something.
Go ahead.
If they were able to tie this into Open Fight Night with Bellator, you know, as far as it's TNA Open Fight Night and Bellator and King Mo is going to be on, that would be a little bit easier just because you could tie the whole Fight Night thing together. As far as just TNA wrestling, just looking at the product right now, they're going to have to, at least for his matches, try to figure out a way to incorporate some of the UFC-style fighting into it, mm-hmm. just to make it halfway believable. Because if you have him do pro wrestling on one product, and you have him do MMA on another product, it's going to be a little odd.
Yeah, and he'll be dead soon, too, because you can't do that for too long.
Because you have shoot fighting versus real fighting, or real in quotations.
And
so
in professional wrestling, they protect each other. In MMA, it's the exact opposite. See that guy over across from you? Kill.
So it's... I'm curious to see how they do it. I'll give it... You know, like everything, I'll give it a chance, but... Got to see where they go with it.
Okay, I just wanted to get, you know, another perspective on it. On that story.
What do you think of it?
It's different. It's going to be something where I can see it working out. Then again, I could see him overextending himself and be like,
mm-hmm.
I'm burnt out and I want to take a break. And it'll be interesting to see what takes priority. Will TNA take the priority or will Bellator take priority? My guess, it's Bellator. And I think they're going to use TNA as a way to build up to his fight in Bellator. Instead of building to a fight in TNA, it's going to wrestle in TNA to build to a fight in Bellator.
I can see that. I can totally see that. And that would work. And again, it's another thing. Let's hope that's how they book it. But it's TNA, and I'm getting more faith in their booking, but they still have a long way to go. Okay. So
one other. We'll let's pose this question: is WWE trying to get rid of Rey Mysterio?
Probably.
I don't know. Are they?
It looks like that.
Yeah, you haven't been following the story like as closely as I guess Rock and I, and even then we're not really following it that closely. Rey Mysterio was suspended for a drug violation right before Extreme Rules, and this was his second offense, and he's out for 60 days. Supposedly he was asking for more time on his injury, seeing as he was just trying to get back from his injury, and they said, you know, he said, well, how about June? And they said, well, no, how about July? Because, yeah, you're suspended for drug policy. But Conan came out this week, I guess, in an interview.
He does a podcast for MLW, and he talked about it, and long story short, it's like, you know, other people have gotten breaks, and Ray wasn't given the break, so it's like, I don't know, and then they put all of his merchandise on sale, so it's like,
Yeah, that's the other thing that's kind of interesting, is you've got Ray on suspension, and then they put all his merch on sale, which, you know, if they are trying to get rid of Mysterio, I guess I can kind of understand it. It's kind of a shitty way that they're going about it, but the fact that, you know, he's not reliable anymore. He tends to get more hurt than he's active. You know, he and Taker kind of have the same problem. The only difference is Taker tends to just vanish when he wants to vanish. And comes back whenever he wants. Versus Mysterio, who, you know, he can come back and he's there for a month or two and then he gets hurt. I mean, he's been on the DL list more than he's been on the active roster, especially this year and last year. So it's, you know, I don't think getting rid of Mysterio is the right move. Maybe making him a featured performer like they do Taker, where they bring him out around WrestleMania. Because he'll always draw. People will always pay to see him.
Make him the attraction, not the weekly performer.
Yeah, I mean, you can... Mysterio is kind of one of those that he will always sell merchandise. People will always pay to see him, but he's also been around a long time.
He's been around 17 years.
So yeah, it's not surprising that, you know, his body isn't holding up anymore like it's supposed to. So yeah, I mean, if you wanted to get longevity out of him, you know, you could just bring him out at WrestleMania and let it be that, but I don't think that's what they want to do. They already have that with Taker. I don't think they want to have that with another performer, and so it looks like they maybe just be trying to say, you know what, your body's not holding anymore. We've got other people. We're doing just fine without you. See you, bye.
And you guys are right. This guy has taken a ton of abuse. I mean, Rey Mysterio's his whole career has either been do something really cool, high-flying, or you see that guy over there who's like 6'9", don't let him beat you up.
Yeah, go be a human pinball.
I mean, I've seen him, Kali and Kane and Taker and Show, and it's like, oh, God.
Kevin Nash, anybody?
Yeah, Kevin Nash pumped, darted Rey Mysterio to the side of a trailer. It was the most epic moment I've ever seen on WCW TV. And it's just like, yeah, I think this guy has... And so I guess I can kind of understand why WWE would say, yeah, no more. But when you consider everything he's done for the business, the way that they're doing it is fucked up.
Yeah, you know, if they are trying to get rid of him in this manner, it's a little shitty. But, you know, I can also see them... Because a couple of years ago, they needed Mysterio because they wanted that Latino base. And if you look, what they've been doing is they've been steadily building that Latino base. They have Alberto Del Rio. They have Primo and Epico. They have Junico and Camacho. They have Sin Cara, which he should be coming back soon, shouldn't he?
Yes.
So they have those performers now that they can get that Latino base, so they don't necessarily need Mysterio now. Now, could they keep him around as a manager? Sure. I think Mysterio could probably manage somebody or take somebody, you know, put him with Junico and Camacho or, I wouldn't say Sin Cara, but, you know, somebody else.
Build up a younger talent and be their mentor.
Yeah, mentor him, you know, because he's, if nothing else, he's a great PR person. The kids are naturally attracted to him, they're drawn to him. Send him out on the anti-bullying circuit, you know, that kind of stuff. Let him do your PR work. But don't just, you know, suspend him and for kind of really something that's bullshit and be like, oh yeah, by the way, you're done. You're fired. See you, bye. Which kind of poses the next question, when are they going to do the round of firings because they haven't done them yet? Are they going to do them?
I don't know.
Oh my God, Lindy's King going to be fired?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
He's not fired.
Yes.
He's going to be fired.
Oh, I want to see that happen. Just for
no,
you're an asshole. You want to see King fired?
Because I just know what will happen on the next time you get, you know, time to talk about it. It'll be 2 hours. God damn you, WWE, you sons of bitches.
No, you won't even get that.
You would not even be a show.
No, you would get the phone call on your voicemail. Rock, get the bail money. We're in Connecticut, and we blew up WWE headquarters. Not that we would do that.
No.
Never. We would never do that. But that would essentially be the phone call.
Don't fire Kane, and I promise you that never happens.
But speaking of people leaving... got this one more tidbit, and then we will do Squee the Week. And for those of you that were tuning in for us to rewrite CM Punk, Summer of Punk last year, and the WWE Walkout, we'll do that next week. But if you want to send in plausible storylines or thoughts or opinions on that, please send them to media@wildtalkradio.com, and we will take a look at them next week.
Yeah, I've made the executive decision. We've done almost 2.5 hours, and that's going to take like at least another 45 minutes. And I don't feel like doing a 3-hour
an
show
tonight. Executive decision.
Yeah, basically, we were told to skip it.
Yeah.
So the producer is tired. We will do it next week.
Yeah.
Plus, this gives us an opportunity to type up some stuff that we hadn't previously. I've got stuff on Punk, but I haven't done the Walkout yet, so. And Rock's done the Walkout, and he hasn't done Punk yet. And
right.
Jackie, I don't think you've done either, so.
No, I'm sorry. I'm still fighting with, between my new iPad and my TV tuner, I'm fighting with technology this week.
Yeah, so we're gonna delay it.
But, but if you have thoughts, opinions, you know, please send them to media@wildtalkradio.com, tweet them to us @wildtalkradio, @LinsWard, LinsWard, or @JackieFeist, FIEST.
Yeah, and don't be like somebody on Facebook who, I sent it to Jack, let me find the comment again. I put out the question on Facebook in a Facebook group, and they basically said something to the response of, better than they doing it now, was the response. How would you rebook it? Better than they doing it now.
Yeah, if you're going to send us something that we can use other than, you know, better than they doing it now, and please let it be in English. Because none of us speak any alternate languages.
Yeah, especially since they're not doing either of these storylines anymore. They're not doing it now. So no, you're not going to do it better.
Yeah. This is basically us. We were talking about it the other night and how, you know, we found it to be rather flawed, like a lot of people. So it was, okay, well, rewrite the feud. Rewrite how you would do it.
Yeah, and Wrestling Fanatic, I appreciate you writing a 4-page thing. It was, you had a lot of thought into it. I appreciate it. So.
Yeah, that was definitely an interesting read, and we will bring that up next week because,
yes.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you for the 4-page idea.
He goes,
definitely worth a read.
He goes, if you do send something in, don't make it as long as mine. No, yours was good. I enjoyed it.
Yours was good. Yours had a lot of thought and a lot of detail, which was good.
Yes, we appreciate it. We appreciate
the
response we get. So,
yeah, we definitely appreciated that one. But moving on, speaking of people that could potentially be leaving, WWE star Mark Henry announced via his Twitter that he will be undergoing surgery Tuesday, I guess. Was it this past Tuesday,
yes,
or was it next Tuesday?
He underwent surgery this past Tuesday.
Okay, so he underwent surgery this past Tuesday, my bad. And he stated that when he returns, he will be the fire-breathing, pain-inflicting, face-melting, better-than-ever Mark Henry. But he said also if he can't come back, then he's fine with that as well. So this poses the question, is this the end of Mark Henry? Because they didn't do any send-off to him. They didn't write him off TV, as far as I know. He just kind of vanished. Thoughts? Opinions?
He's been around for a while. He's lasted longer than a lot of people. So if he goes on his own terms, I can't complain about that.
He's been there since 1996. His first feud, he was in Red, White, and Blue, and he took on Jerry the King Lawler. His career has been up and down. His last little bit was the high point of his career. I think we've seen the end. And his role is being given to younger talent.
Yeah.
And he's not that great of a worker to do anything else.
He's not that great of a worker. He's not that great on the mic. He's fantastic in the squash match role, which is what they had him in. And yeah, I would agree. The last year to year and a half of his career has definitely been the high point, and they have struggled for years to do anything with Mark Henry, I think, after the Mae Young hand incident. They didn't do shit with him until last year. I mean, they would try to build Mark Henry up, and they would try to build Mark Henry up, and they would always pussy out, and they would run away from it. And then this past year, they finally decided, oh, to hell with it, and they moved forward. And they really did something, and unfortunately, they had to do it at the expense of Brodus Clay. They actually stole the Hall of Fame gimmick from him and gave it to Henry, but at least they did something with Henry, and he can leave with his head held high.
Yeah, he could. He can, and yeah. It'll be interesting to see if he comes back and what they end up doing with him. There's not much they left they can do.
When you're 500 pounds and you cannot move, what can you do with someone like that?
There's nothing much, and you know it. It's going to be one of those things. He may be one that gets cut. He might just be one of those, we have nothing for you guys at some point.
Which would be a shame, but I would rather see them let him retire. Or God, that wasn't me. I would rather see him retire than them cut him.
Great.
Just because them cutting him is kind of a fuck you to him. After everything he's given your company, let him retire. Let him leave with his head held high. He has earned at least that.
I agree.
But we'll just have to see if they let him do that.
Now, finally...
And finally, I guess we have exhausted ourselves and the topic. We are moving on to our favorite part of the show.
Where we honor part of the show.
We honor our beloved god of fire and sex, Kane. And Jackie, what is the squee of the week?
A few months ago, Kane had an absolutely epic moment on WWTV where he walked down to the ring, face-booted Primo, and then basically wiped out the entire tag division. And it was awesome. And I just love it when he face boots people like that. You know, it's very dominant. And so I chose that as the Kane Squee of the Week.
He just laid out Primo. Dolph Ziggler unsuspecting.
Oh no.
Emiko as well. Double chokeslam from the Big Red Monster. And R-Truth trying to, I guess, fight for survival here. Oh no. And R-Truth gonna feel the wrath. Oh.
I don't know about fighting for survival. I think the smartest thing would have been to run for survival.
And that was your squee of the week.
Yay, that made me happy.
Wrestling for the Night Goes, best Kane moment is when he came out and interrupted a midget tag match in his early days. Sonny was the ref. All the midgets were hiding with Cornette and JR.
<I remember. laughs>
I'm going to have to look that up. But on that note, I think we're spent.
Yeah.
So, Jackie, please plug your shit.
Okay, well, you can follow me on Twitter at Jackie Feist, F-I-E-S-T. I want to come out again, ask everyone to please contribute to my bail money fund. Not only did I get tickets for the WWE event in El Paso to Stockholm, I got 4 throw seats. So I will be very close. I just don't know that I'm going to be able to keep my hands or various other body parts to myself. So please contribute to my bail money fund.
God help us all.
The only saving grace is that I do not have the funds to join her in El Paso, otherwise we would have a serious problem on our hands. Just saying.
And by the way, that one ticket, fourth row, fucking $117.
It's going to be worth it.
That's an expensive booty call.
Because I'm going to go, I'm going to run up there, and they're going to knock me back down. I'm going to be like, I paid $117 for this. I'm going to have security boot prints on my face.
Kane,
watch
if
out.
If you hear this sound, squee!
Run.
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 Run. Like hell.
Run for your life.
You know how cats, when they're about to pounce something, you know, shake their butts and, you know, hike up their hind legs? It's only going to be me. He's never going to see me. I'm just going to come pouncing out of the crowd. It's going to be great. So please donate to my bail money fund, Jackie Fice Legal Defense Fund.
Yes, the Jackie Fice Legal Defense Fund. Please donate to it. And, Rock, tell us about the other great programming on this network.
You mean all the other great programming here presented by BotchMerch.com.
BotchMerch.com.
Yes. Technically. Saturday night, midnight-ish, at CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and somebody. We talk the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. Who knows what we'll get into, but we'll get into stuff. It's weird, wacky, it's unusual. Sunday night, it's Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll cover everything that happens at WWE over the limit. Monday night is the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We cover Raw. Get it? Got it? Good. Wednesday night, it is just another goddamn wrestling show with Brian Blotty as the lead host for a month. God help you all. And the Cheap Wood Paneling. Check it out Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Next Thursday night, it is Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, a special day and time at 9 p.m. Eastern, 2 hours before the rack. Alan Wojcik will be live with a guest or two talking wrestling.
Does that mean we're going on Tuesday again?
No, we're going to go on at 11 p.m. Eastern, following Kayfabe Wrestling Radio.
All right. Well, do you know who Alan's guests are going to be?
No.
Oh, bummer. But yes, tune in to all the wonderful, fabulous programming here on Wild Talk Radio Network, brought to you by BotchMerch.com. Go visit their website, because without them, we would not have a network. So we love you. You're awesome. Thank you. And for those of you who don't know, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. If you opt to get your feed spammed during Raw and occasionally SmackDown, otherwise, well, I don't say much. But on that note, I think we're going to get the hell out of here. And y'all don't have to go home, but can't stay here either. So for Jackie and Rock, this is Lindsay signing off on the rack. Y'all have a good night.
Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.